The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Oh, that was so close.
I know.
So close. So everyone, first of all, getting right into it, we have a brand new producer. Her name's Miriam. So she's the newest cast member to the Tara and Johnny podcast. Miriam, welcome.
Yay. Loud applause.
You're welcome.
Oh, Johnny, what episode are we on?
This is the 53rd podcast that has been under the Tara and Johnny umbrella.
Wow.
We're currently looking for other podcasts that we may... you know, take into our umbrella. But for now, it's just us, just the two.
Johnny's always good with stats. I feel like I could always just throw that at you and you always know things like that.
I do love a statistical number.
I would have said it was like 96.
It definitely feels like at least 1,062 that we've recorded. In general, I think it's because we don't really ever have a set plan and we just kind of roll with it. So we forget that we've even done it.
Yeah, I agree. So... yeah.
So, guys, obviously this week we have a little bit of a scheduling change, and we're actually recording this afternoon, and this podcast is going to be up and available for all of you right away tonight. So we're a little bit nervous. We're minding our P's and Q's so we don't have to do a lot of editing. I refer you to curse words or, you know, political talk or anything like that.
We're just rambling about things.
Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoy just a full 50 minutes of us not speaking.
Tara,
let's try it for one. Let's try it for 1 second. Just 3, 2, 1. Shh. Wow. Wasn't that great? Do you like being alone with your thoughts?
No, I don't. Speaking of not speaking, Johnny and I were just talking about an event that we have coming up. So this next week, and we're already into the full swing of it with the Grand Prix season. We've done two events in Stamford, and that is the norm. I fly across the country back and forth in a day for that. true joys of life.
But it hasn't hit you that hard yet because you stayed in New York the whole time between the first two.
Yeah, it was actually
really
nice.
So I don't feel bad for you.
No, I actually feel like from now on I'm going to propose this to Todd that, you know, for two of them we do something similar. So it makes it feel shorter and makes the season feel a bit shorter, right. Which it did. But we are working this next weekend in Stamford. But the following weekend there's a bit of a change up and we're going to be working out of Denver. And I was really excited about that because I'm, you know, it's...
We have good memories of Denver.
We do. And we love Maggiano's in Denver.
Denver only. Denver exclusively.
Exclusively that Maggiano's. But our schedule is a little different and we've never done anything like this. Our production meeting starts at 11 p.m. and we go on the air at 1 a.m. live, guys, live for a full men's and ladies event. Till about 5:30 a.m. That's a long time to be on the air.
We're jazzed about it.
And guys, I don't nap. Like, seriously, there's no way I can nap. So you have no idea how this is frightening me. And I told Johnny today, I'm like, I'm just not going to speak. So I think that I'll be delirious at this point. And at that point, I'll just be like, great. Beautiful, well, triple toe. And that's that's what I'm contributing.
What's nice about this, though, is that technically, if we start at 1 a.m., that'll be midnight in California. That'll be a solid 3 a.m. start time for yours truly over here. And, you know, mommy really values her sleep.
Which is going to be, it's even worse for you.
It's going to be horrible. But you know what?
But can
we
you
always
nap?
Somehow, I can nap, but I'm going to try and plan it where I arrive just in time for the production meeting.
But will you nap the day before somehow or no? Or are you just going to be up from Thursday night on? See, I'll be up from Thursday night on because there's no way I'll be able to nap.
Well, I'm sure I've talked about this before on the podcast and I've talked to you about it. But just referring everyone back, I've had problems sleeping since about age 12 when the entire mortgage of my family's home was put on my shoulders as a young ice skater. And
really messed
since then,
with your sleep cycle.
I've really struggled with sleeping properly. So in general, I've gone full the full gamut. I've done melatonin, I've done kava, I've done
and
valerian
now you've
root.
Upped it a bit.
Then I went to Tylenol PM, and by the time it got to 5 to 6 Tylenol PM, just to get me down like a charging rhino, I switched to Ambien because it was one pill and it was much easier to go down. And that has been years ago now. And I'm now trying to get off of it. But anyway, I can be wired for days on end without any assistance from any coffee, without anything. It's just I can go for a while without sleeping.
Well, lucky you. I mean, I will be delirious and should be an interesting event, guys. So tune into that for sure.
We'll just get a can of Hershey's syrup and just keep, you know, pumping it straight into your veins. I'd like a shot of chocolate directly into the
vitamin
heart.
Vitamin B shot and a
sort
Hershey
of consume chocolate
syrup.
Frantically.
Why don't you tell people about that? Because I love it.
All right, guys. So last week, I don't know if you saw it on my Instagram, but there was an SNL skit starring Emily Blunt, the famous actress, Girl on a Train, and
we saw that together.
We did see that together, Schomburg. And I recently found out that I'm vitamin D deficient. And Tara says that it causes my depression.
And he's refusing to take a vitamin D pill.
Well, just because I don't believe in them. Like, I should feel different if I'm going to take something. Like, I want immediate results.
So I think you'll enjoy it.
I hope so. I mean, maybe I'll just be more positive and happy. But now that the season has changed, I'm doing better with that anyway. I dream more and sort of
just alive in the foggy and dreary days of winter.
I love it. The golden leaves sort of floating across gray sky. You know, nothing more gorgeous. But yeah, so I found out I'm vitamin D deficient. I'm a vitamin D sufferer. And I'm fine with it. It, you know, I'm empowered by it. It's a syndrome that I can deal with. It doesn't hurt. So I saw this skit just while I was having coffee in the morning, because sometimes I watch YouTube videos and stuff to get myself going. And usually they're funny ones, and I like SNL. But Emily Blunt was playing a call girl, essentially, a very exclusive call girl in the skit with Leslie Jones and two of the dudes that I don't know from that program. But
that show or movie.
But it was
or a musical band.
Or you know, those people that are on television on Saturdays. But so Emily Blunt just really tripped my trigger. She goosed me, essentially, in the best sense of the word. Because she portrayed this character that I think is very much me. And she went through basically telling the guy that there were some rules and stipulations because they were very elegant service. It's called Elegant Evenings is the escort service they're from. And she basically says to the guy now, they were talking about role playing and she was like, I play Patty Pendergrass. And the guy's like, I have no idea who that is. And she's like, oh, it's an original character. And Patty Pendergrass, she'll like stop him in the middle and be like, oopsie dooped, I muffed it up, and things like that. But then, you know, she goes through these stipulations, and one of them was that she's deficient in vitamin D and that she may stop suddenly to consume milk frantically. And it just really, really hit me right in the heart, especially, you know, that I'm, you know, living with vitamin D deficiency. And it just made me feel really good and positive about it, so I posted it. And then that led to Tara getting church giggles while we were doing affiliate interview on the weekend.
Okay, guys. So we have to do this interview before we went in and did our Grand Prix. And we do these. We're used to these. Sometimes we giggle. Sometimes we have, you know, maybe 3 minutes of sort of tomfoolery before we can get things really going. And that's,
we're,
you know,
exceedingly cute and knowledgeable is sort of our go-to look for these things. Now, an affiliate interview is you film one interview and it goes to all the affiliates. So it is NBC proper, but NBC Philly, NBC Austin, NBC Honolulu, NBC LA, NBC Des Moines, you know, whatever it might be, this one interview goes to all of those markets.
Right. But we, Johnny, we have never been this giggly ever.
Well, that woman, she messed it up before we even started.
Over the years, I mean, like I said, we sometimes have moments of it, but we can like bring it back. Like, it was full on church giggles. We couldn't get through the first question for a solid 15 minutes. Like, and I was trying so hard. I kept thinking, you know, morbid thoughts. I kept thinking, like, all of these things. And we just could, I mean,
could not get it together.
Do it. Like, full
well, we started,
meltdown
okay.
of giggles.
So, guys, for my preparation for this weekend, you know, I try on the outfits that I'm going to wear before I wear them to go to work. And Tara and I were really pro having an on-camera as part of each of our broadcasts because, you know, the fashion and whatever, and people like to see what we're wearing. And it's fun for us. We love getting dolled up and pretty and talking to people. You guys via your television. Right. Don't get too close. Don't come in the space. So we're separated by a thin piece of glass. But anyway, we love doing that. And I was trying my outfit on the night before. And we've talked about my summer weight gain and my girth. And I tried on a pair of very, like, up to my bottom rib, high-waisted leather Tom Ford pants. And there's a long, aggressive zipper, which Tom Ford really enjoys, a statement zipper, if you will. So cut to me getting myself into these pants at my current weight and proceeded to get part of my stomach, my tube, if you will, stuck in said zipper. So I couldn't really walk or sit down in them, but there I am stuck, hunched over, walking like some sort of crab, with my stomach stuck in the zipper. So it was already, I got it out, thankfully, but, you know, I still was like, you know what, Johnny, they're going to be great, and you're wearing it with this great, you know, Yudashkin bomber jacket, and you're going to look so chic. Tara's wearing green. There's green velvet on this thing. It's perfect. It's going to match. Then the day comes, the next day, when I have to wear it in front of people. And I, as a non-festive person, often forget that holidays are upon us and that Halloween is today. And I don't really find any significance in the fact that I wore an orange bomber jacket with Halloween. I don't have that thought process.
And it was like a puffy, like, bright orange Halloween pumpkin bomber jacket.
There was a Baroque floral scene on it. It had nothing to do with pumpkins.
But if you looked quickly, it almost looked like little pumpkins all over.
Yeah. So yep. It was it's a beautiful jacket. I'm never wearing it again. But because
but
Tara and Terry,
down.
They made fun of me. But I couldn't sit down in the pants. And I didn't realize this affiliates interview was going to be sitting. So I have to completely unzip these pants, carefully, mind you, so I don't re-zip the tube up in them. So there we sit. My pants are completely undone.
Good thing it's a high zipper, so it's only like your top of your stomach is sitting up.
Like my peach and everything was tucked in, so don't worry anyone. But yeah, it was just one of those situations, and it was bad from the beginning. So there mommy sits with her pants undone.
No, and then she immediately
made fun of my orange jacket.
She's like, oh, that's so festive. You're dressed for Halloween.
And she was the first one that really brought any attention to it. Tara had, you know, neglected to say anything. Tara Gannon didn't say anything. It was this girl who we hadn't met. But I think we have, and I love this about the people that follow us and listen to us and whatever, is that everyone feels like they're our friends because we are pretty inclusive while being exclusive. And we like it when people think they're our friends. So this girl thought she was our friend and that she could joke with me about my festive top. So it just really, really upset me.
And Johnny got flustered.
I got flustered. And then Tara started laughing about it. And I love watching Tara's eyes. And she just had the crazy eye on.
And then I realized Johnny had this little swoop going on with his hair. So it had this green trim that almost looked like the top of the pumpkin. And then his head with his hair sticking out to the side looked like a, you know, like a stem. And so, like, that's all I could see when I looked at you.
I just saw an embarrassed daughter when I looked at you. So anyway, this begat us laughing. It's a lot funnier. I guess you had to be there.
I mean, it was just nonstop giggles, like to the point where, what was the question? Because I'll never forget. Oh, how do you prepare for, you know, like our first big primetime event?
The Olympics.
The Olympics. And Johnny just couldn't. I had trouble too. Like for the first 10 minutes, I had trouble, but then Johnny continued for another 10. And then we finally got through. But like when they show that first question, you didn't even make it. We thought we were so proud to just make it through, but like there were times you were like,
I know.
And then I have to look like, I can't even look at you. Because a lot of times when Johnny and I are working, like I look at you, I nod, I'm kind of into it.
It's hard to look at one another though, right in the eye. This was, weird.
Yeah. And when this started to happen, I had to just like really look awkwardly away from you. And I kept thinking, I wonder what people are thinking. Like, is she bored?
So unprofessional is what
she
we look like.
She mad at Johnny? Like, why is her back turned to him?
What really set us off, and I blame Emily Blunt, just because this character, this elite escorts, elegant escorts, the way she talked was how I imagine. I sort of drink milk frantically. That's how I imagine myself talking when I'm on broadcast. You know, real douchey, just real, you know, above it all, above the fray, so much smarter and prettier than you all. That's how I like to think of myself because it's my Sasha Fierce. It's when I go on stage, that's how I think. But I said, to prepare for the Olympics, we sort of pour over all the statistics and bios. And that's what really set us off. But anyway, sorry, guys, you had to be there. Pour over statistics. But in any event, it was a great broadcast. You know, the skaters were, you know, not as great as we would have hoped. And Tara and I, you know, tried to do the best we could.
I
anyway,
mean, there was one skater that, you know, really bit it a few times so hard that I mean it was difficult to watch this skater, this girl fell like four
times.
Let's
just say they all know it's Anna Pogodilya from Russia.
Okay, but and if she's you're not known a skating her, fan, I mean, but
yeah, but she's I mean known for her bombastic falls. She's either really good or if she's bad, she just it almost looks as if she's purposely body checking herself onto the ice.
Yeah, like
and it was pure shock. You know, she's hard. When she gets. She's going back to Russia, and she's going straight to the doctor. It was announced yesterday in Russian press.
Yeah, it wasn't even, I mean, like, when I was watching,
wasn't even cute.
I was like, just stop.
Just get off the
just
ice.
Just stop. I know that's unprofessional, but just do it at this point.
I mean, she wiped her nose. She started taking her gloves off. She knocked herself down a couple times. And, I mean, I've had performances like that at Skate Canada, in fact, which is what we were commentating, everyone. And I had a twinge at the beginning of my performance, really thought I hurt myself bad. So I just kind of skated through the program like I was on a practice. I just left jumps out, didn't spin, looked down a lot, snorted my nose. And, you know, I've had one of those performances. So I've been there and we're wishing on a speedy recovery. But honey, you spent an entire week in New York and Rhode Island. So
it was
and
so
also
fun.
You were featured on many a Jumbotron, as your Insta story suggested.
What's so crazy is I lived in New York for 5 years and I did more in this last week than I did in the 5 years that I lived in the city. So Todd, we've talked about this, was off his project. So he planned to spend this week with me in New York and we went, we commentated our first event, and then he took me to Brown to see where he went to school, and it was very mm-hmm. fancy and pretty, and it was fun to imagine a, you know, 19-year-old Todd roaming around Providence.
Just gangly and right. elk-like.
Yeah, yeah. just pure Todd in his younger years where he was very lanky.
Well, now we've gone through this because, you know, Tara, Todd and I were drinking buddies there in Rio. And, mm-hmm. you know, we enjoy a funny conversation because, as we've talked about before, we sort of revert back into being children when we're together. And that makes it really fun for us because we always have to be so grown up and, you know, dealing with our syndromes and things. We were trying to come up with a spirit animal for Todd Cap. And, you know, I'm an albino peacock and Tara's a snow leopardess. And just coming up with what Todd would be, I think definitely he was an elk when he was in college.
Yeah,
just, you know,
so
the
guys,
long, like
baby Todd,
elk.
When he was like his teenage, his mom showed me his like teenage pictures one day. And of course, Todd was so embarrassed. But they're my favorite. Like, I'm going to have to frame them at some point and put them up in our house because they're so amazing. He doesn't even look like the Todd I know. Like, I can't even see Todd in those pictures. But anyway. I like to tease
now
him
we,
about that.
Now we say he's very, I mean, we couldn't come up with like a...
I know, we didn't come up with a great...
I mean, a sable is kind of where we
yeah,
ended
we
it.
Ended up
but
with
I think
sable.
Definitely a majestic sort of buck deer
yes.
or a moose or something.
Something
just,
like
you know,
that.
Just something tall and big and lovely and brown. And,
yeah.
You know, just a brown
Todd
eye.
Cap.
Todd Kapp.
So he took me to Brown, which was really awesome. It was such a beautiful campus. And we went into the old, I loved it, like where the hockey team plays. It's, you know, Johnny, I don't know how you feel about this, but I love skating in old rinks, sort of like in Wilmington. Grew up there, and it was, I always loved that rink, you know, compared to like these big arenas that a lot of times you train in and you skate in and compete in.
They've got no character.
Yeah, there's something romantic and vintage.
I love the University of Pennsylvania, their ice rink. It's real old, like real old, like asbestos-y sort of crazy
old. Yes, that's what I like. And I even in L.A. here, I go all the way to Anaheim because there's one rink, like the domed wooden ceiling. Like, that's my jam. So walked in, and it was totally a vintage rink, and I loved it. The smell of, you know, Zamboni fumes and,
old, you know, ice rubber. Chemicals.
Yes, loved it. So we went, sort of saw the whole campus, and the best part was, is, you know, as we're walking out, I'm like, wow, like, Todd Kapp's so smart. Look where he went to school. And then it was,
do you
like
ever see
really
a beautiful teenager girl and you want to steal her face and put it on your face?
So we walk by the, like, this little green area, and it was like the very last thing we saw of Brown, and I could tell Todd's like, why did this have to happen? But there were these sticks in the ground, three on each side, sticks with circle hoops that you would throw something through at sort of different heights on either side. So like goals, but they looked really weird. I didn't know what they were going to do. So if
like the Harry Potter game?
Oh,
isn't
my
that a
goodness.
Harry Potter thing?
Oh, my goodness. I was just going to say, if you can guess it, you're a winner. Because
did I win?
All of a sudden, all these people are standing around about to play a game, and they have sticks between their legs. And I'm like, Todd, what are they doing? And he's like, let's go. Let's keep walking. And I'm like, what do you mean? I want to know what's happening over here. What kind of game are they playing? And I'm just going
to
be not rude in any way, but these didn't look like athletes that were, you know, had off time and they were playing some game, or they were, you know, training, you know, doing some sort of, I don't know. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I hear someone say, like, what are you guys doing? And he's like, ah, it's Quidditch Day.
I win.
You win. They were pretending they were flying through the air on brooms. And
wow,
they run around with these sticks between their legs.
That's dangerous. You could kill your scrotum that
way.
Oh
my God. And I'm like, Todd, we've got to sit down and watch this. And you could tell Todd's so embarrassed. I mean, he just showed me, like,
well, so much for higher learning and feeling like we missed the jump not going to school.
Right? You know? And so I'm like, no. We are sitting and watching this. It was one of my favorite parts of the day. And like, some people had mouth guards in and a helmet. Like, it was like they were taking their Quidditch game really seriously. But we sat there and just watched them running around with brooms, pretending to fly on the Brown campus to win at the Quidditch game. So we did that.
Yeah.
And then we drove to Rhode Island. Todd, like, did a surprise trip, so I didn't really know where we were going.
Well, is Brown in Rhode Island?
Sorry, we went to Newport. Yeah, Providence, and then we went to Newport. So we were in Rhode Island the entire time, obviously.
Yes.
But we drove, and it was really nice, a pretty drive. And then we show up in Newport, and I've never been to Newport. The town was gorgeous. It was so, so pretty. I thought it was going to be much smaller. Like, I could live in Newport. It was amazing. And then he took me to this place called Castle Inn. And it's set right on the water, really beautiful. And we had our own little beach cottage. They have these little beach cottages. And, I mean, we've been to really nice places all over the world. And I have never stayed in a place that had such an amazing view and, like, beachside. I mean, of course, I guess if you're, like, staying in Hawaii and on a hut on the water, yes. But, like, for a regular hotel, like, we just walked out onto the beach and we had the entire, this little, like, inlet to ourselves. So
wow.
I was like, whoa, Rhode Island.
Very pleased.
And very pleased. I felt like I like any standalone. I love, like, little cottages. I like to feel like I'm not in a hotel.
Yeah, I like to feel like I'm the only one that is seeing that at that moment.
Yeah, and I just was not expecting it to be what it was, but I loved it. And we went to a nice dinner the next night. And then we walked around. And then he took me to West Hartford because he worked at ESPN for many, many years after college. And
you drove all the way up there?
We did. We did.
I lived in West Hartford for a time.
Oh, did
you? Go Connecticut. I did when I was training up there.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you, like, crossed paths with Todd Cap back in the day.
I mean, how long ago are we talking?
Remember, mommy's
old.
Right. I mean, he's been in L.A. 3 years, and then after college, he was there. So he's...
I definitely
many, many years.
Cap.
Yeah.
That was him on my Tinder.
Todd will be very angry with that. You know what?
Jokes, everyone.
I do find it interesting, though. Like, so many people are on these dating sites. And,
yeah.
And when you're in your 30s, I feel like at that point, you kind of start that. And it's strange that Todd and I never, either of us, ever tried that.
Yeah, I mean, I can say...
I mean, I guess there's still some people that don't do it, but I feel like the majority of people nowadays do it.
Well, we've talked about this. I don't have a Facebook that is my own personal one, and I have, you know, a community page, a Johnny Weir community page, but I don't have my own personal one. So it really restricts the amount of apps I can actually use because they're all sort of done through Facebook. And I can say it is the horrible way... To meet people, especially in my community, because it tends to get real dirty. Doesn't mean if you're on, you know, the dirtiest one is Grindr, and then there's Raya, and you know I did Tinder for a while, and it just is, it's a cesspool of just dirt and people that just want to have sex, and then you go about your own direction. So
yeah, see, good thing that I was not on any of these.
Yeah, it would
sites.
Have terrified you.
Oh.
And Todd Cap, for that matter.
So wait, can I finish my story of what things we Todd and I did in New York?
Yeah, but we have to do it quickly because then we have to go and have a break
and then
do a call.
So we went
we things to, do.
To New York. We stayed
you
at
got
his
into
aunt's.
Carbone.
We got into Carbone thanks to Amanda and Josh. So my friends, Amanda and Josh, who had just moved to Puerto Rico two weeks later, the hurricane hit and they're sort of displaced and... it's terrible. So they went to New York and lucky enough to be able to get out and have somewhere to live and go and hopefully power will come back on soon. But they were in New York for a week. They're actually coming to LA now, hoping that power will come back to Puerto Rico within a week or so. But they made some I lived with Amanda at one point. I met her in New York. So it was really fun being back and the two of us, the two couples got to do a lot of stuff together. So we went to Carbone, we went to all these great restaurants, and they got us tickets to Hamilton, which obviously.
And now I'm walking down the street.
Well, no, it was so amazing, and I didn't think. I mean, tickets for Hamilton. I don't know if anyone knows this. Are ridiculous. The prices for this show are just.
And you can't
outrageous.
Even get them, right?
Like you can't get them. So I was just like, well, it's never happening for us. Like we're gonna have to wait 10 years. So when Amanda, said she had these tickets, we were like, on it. We're doing this. And we made a trip out of it. But Hamilton was spectacular. I loved every moment. So innovative, so unique. And these actors are so talented because it's not the typical Broadway where you're, you know, doing these ballads. Like, you're rapping throughout the entire play. And, I mean,
that's right up your alley.
I mean, yeah, I was into it. It was really clever and amazing. So we did that. Then... we went to a hockey game and then at MSG. And then I was like, after the hockey game, I was like, Todd would die. Todd's a basketball guy. So he would die to go to a game.
Knicks and Nets give me half that.
So he was like, I was like, would you want to do that? I could see if possibly I could get tickets. And I like reached out. And funny enough, Todd's like team, the Cavaliers, were playing
the
Nets. And it like worked out perfectly that we were there. So we got tickets. They were amazing seats. Todd, he was so cute, Johnny. He was like nervous because he was so excited to go to this game. You have no idea. So he kept joking with Josh. He's like, we should probably get there around like 1 p.m. We need to be there early. Like all day long, he was just like so on top of it. Couldn't wait to get there. We had a dinner planned at Parm before that, which was really good. And you could tell he kept looking out, you know, trying to see what was happening. And he's like, we should probably get down. And then like when we were walking there, he seemed really quiet. I was like, are you nervous? He's like, I'm so excited. I'm nervous. Like, he's like, this is so incredible. So it was really fun to watch him.
Todd Cap.
I mean, we had courtside seats and LeBron was, you know, up close and personal. And it was a fun night. So anyway, that was our.
Do you mean LeBron?
LeBron James? No.
Yeah.
You don't do any basketball. LeBron James? No? Nope.
Nope. I try. I support Todd Capp and everything that he does.
So I think because basketball. I love Todd Capp so much, I'm getting really into basketball. It's weird.
Oh, and Yao Ming. I was into him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, good. I like all that. I like so that you had a nice trip and a good time. Yeah. But, you know, we have to take a break.
We gotta go.
We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna do our fan call with a lady named Madeline.
A comedy about four crazy ladies in Miami.
I thought it would be a change of pace.
Meet the Golden Girls. They're not getting older.
You must be blind.
They're getting funnier.
We're still interested. In what?
If you have to ask, it does not matter anymore.
We'll be looking out for you Saturday night at 9 on TV5.
Okay, so we're back. Johnny, it is time for fan call.
Yes.
We're going to call Madeline. Should we call her now?
Yeah, but okay. Let's remind everybody, we were asking for your wildest real estate, home ownership, renovation story, since Tara and I are both sort of on a house hunt at the moment. So that's just to get you up to date, and let's call Madeline.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi. How are you, Madeline?
I am doing great. How are you?
Doing
well.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story with us via email and now to the literal trillions that listen to our program.
Well, when you said that you were asking for real estate stories, I thought, I am living the greatest real estate story right now, and it's too good not to share.
Well, thank you for that. Now, just to get us off on the right foot, tell us where you're calling from, what your life is about, what your vibe is, sort of your Halloween, you know, vibe. This is going out tonight on Halloween. So what's going on?
Okay, so I am in Austin, Texas, which usually on Halloween is still hot and sauna-like, but this year we are going to be blessed with actual fall weather. So my kids will be very excited. I've got a 2- and a 4-year-old.
What are they dressing as?
Yeah, they're going to be robots and princesses.
Ooh,
so they're very excited.
So tell us, let's get right into the story. What do you think, Johnny? I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have to get there because reading through it was, it was just bombastic gem after bombastic gem.
It has been an adventure. It has been a very emotional adventure attempting to sell our house so that we can move to New Zealand, which is our ultimate goal in all of this.
And when did you decide that and why?
So we decided about 11 months ago that we were going to take our kids on a big international adventure. And my husband and I came up with a list of kind of country criteria. We went shopping for a country. So we need to be able to speak English, and we want to have, sunshine more often than not. We both really like to be outside. And we wanted a good quality of life. We wanted a great place to raise our kids. And New Zealand quickly kind of bubbled up to the top of that list.
And had you been to New Zealand before?
Not at that point.
We have actually been there twice now.
Wow.
And we've taken our kids with us, and they love it, too. They're really excited.
It's a long flight. I've done New Zealand, and it's a long one, but the stunning beauty of New Zealand is incredible.
But you are not living there.
We are not living there yet.
Why?
We need to be able to sell our house before we can live there, and we have had a lot of excitement trying to get that accomplished.
Okay, so walk us through what happened.
So we decide that we're going to move to New Zealand, and we successfully go through the visa process, and it's time to start thinking about how we're going to sell and market the house. So we have an agent who we love, who we've worked with before and has been great for us. And so she sets up a time for a photographer to come over and start taking pictures of our house for all the marketing material and everything that goes up online and all that fun stuff. And this is actually a bit before our house is really even ready to go on the market, but we're just trying to get prepared and get everything lined up.
And Austin is one of those wild, booming, up-and-coming sort of everyone is selling and buying cities, right?
Yes. Austin has a pretty good real estate market. Everyone wants to come here. We've got great quality of life. And our neighborhood in particular is very much in demand because we're very central. One of the downsides to Austin is that the traffic can be pretty awful. So being central is a definite plus. So we didn't think we were going to have much trouble selling our house when we went into all of this.
But.
But. So we got a photographer over at our house, snapping away, taking pictures. Everything looks pristine and better than it ever has with a 2 and a 4-year-old in the house. And our agent says, oh, I have a coworker who's got some out-of-town people. Can they come by and look at the house? And we're like, sure. You know, the house looks great. Have them come by. You know, we're fine with that. So some folks come by. They look at the house. They like it. They come back the next day. They apparently really like it. So they give us a full price offer later in the week. And we think, wow, this is great. We only had to show the house once. This is fabulous. So we start an option period, which is kind of the time when the potential buyers can have an inspection, make sure the house is okay, and really just kind of get everything checked out. And then they have the option to get out of the contract if there's things that can't be resolved or they don't like. So we start our option period. They schedule an inspection for a Monday morning, which is usually a good time to do that because our kids are off at school, at preschool. But that Monday morning happens to be one of those days when my son wakes up at 4:30 in the morning with a crazy fever, like 104.5, and he's saying that his legs don't work, which is kind of a scary thing to hear from your little kid. So first thing in the morning, I race off to the doctor as soon as they open at about 8 o'clock, and I tell my husband, you've got to, you know, reschedule this inspection. There's no way we can be out of the house, you know, all morning. We need to get him home after this doctor's appointment back into bed. And my husband is now left in charge of our daughter, our 2-year-old, for the morning, which is something that he is not exactly accustomed to. That is not the usual routine in our morning. So he is trying to get ready, trying to get my daughter ready. Somehow in all of this, she gets into, he had left out some ibuprofen because we had gone out and celebrated the night before and he needed a little headache remedy. Somehow she gets into all of that, eats some of it. We have no idea how much. And so he is now left dealing with her on the phone with poison control, doesn't reschedule the inspection, and these buyers show up at our door at 8:30 in the morning, pounding on the door and demanding that we get out and that they come in. And my husband, I still don't know why, for some reason agrees to this, even though he's got poison control on the phone and our other son is sick and at the doctor with me.
Men can be so disappointing sometimes.
I mean, I can imagine it was a little bit of an overwhelming moment, but I still kind of question his judgment right then.
I would have just left them outside. I just would have been like, oh, well.
Right? I would have, too. I probably would have, you know, given them the finger and slammed the door in their face and said, come back later. But I was not given that option. So I finish up with the doctor. You know, it's nothing serious with my son. He just has, you know, kid crud is what we call it. And, you know, someday, hopefully, you'll get to have that lovely experience.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Ava.
I call my husband to give him an update and to let him know that we're going home. And he says, oh, actually, right, the inspector is there. And at that point, I'm not entirely sure what to do. I'm a little pissed. I've been up since 4:30 in the morning. And so my son and I began a 3-hour jaunt around town with him feeling miserable in the back seat of the car and me not in the best of moods. Finally, at like 11 o'clock, I said, that's it. We're going home. I'm not doing this anymore. And I race back to my house, storm in, kind of unleashed on this poor inspector who was there, and basically said, I'm putting my son to bed, and you can go do things that should not be repeated on air to himself.
yourself.
He actually turned out to be a rather incompetent inspector and couldn't do all of the things that needed to be done. And he left one of our garden hoses, like, blasting full force, which we did not discover until the next day, and then we had quite a lovely water bill that month. So,
great.
Not my favorite person. Anyway, so we get through the inspection with minor scrapes and bruises. Everyone survived. And then 2 days later, I am putting my daughter, who still naps, and naps are very, very important when you have a little kid. You've got to have a nap. I put her down. I walk downstairs, and I see this kind of strange truck parked right in front of our house, and I'm thinking that's a little odd. So I go outside, and I look around, and I see a ladder up to the roof line right outside of my daughter's window. And there is a man climbing on the roof, literally like 6 feet from her, which is probably the most terrifying sight to see when you have kids, is a strange man on the roof on your house right outside the window. And I completely lost it. I mean, you know, it is called Mama Bear for a reason. Mama Bear came out. Mama Bear was not having this strange man on my roof, and he was down on the ground, probably a little terrified, and trying to explain that he was a roof inspector, which we had no knowledge of coming over. And I kicked that man out of the house on his merry way. My real estate agent also got an earful after that, and I needed a glass of wine at that point. It was pretty bad. Anyway, so we have these issues with the inspections. They come back, you know, a few days later and said, oh, well, we found these things, which they always do. They always find something. And at that point, you know, my husband and I have not slept for a few days because we have a sick kid. And we kind of look at each other and we're like, you know what? They can take it or leave it. The house isn't even on the market yet. No one else has even seen the house at this point. You know, if they want the house, they can have it, but we're not going to go into any negotiations, especially when they're going to be so rude and inconsiderate about, you know, our boundaries, our house, our kids. And so they decided to leave it, which honestly was just fine with us at that point. They walked away from the contract, and we were totally fine with that. But it has been quite the adventure. Our house is
so
still for sale.
It does not sound fun. Hopefully you get to New Zealand sooner than later.
We would really like to. You know, we thought we were going to have two summers this year, and maybe it's just next year we have two winters. Who knows?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I do prefer a winter, so I'm there with you. I'll visit you for your second winter. But guys, Tara and I have both seen Madeline's house. She was nice enough to include the link in the email. And it is a beautiful home. We can't technically advertise for her, but it's a great home. So if you're looking for a house in Austin, definitely look for it. But Madeline, we're so sorry that you're having bad luck with it, but we know it's all going to end well, because that's what the old saying is it not?
I certainly hope so. You know, I hear that the trick to selling your house is to get a St. Christopher statue and to bury it head down.
Ooh.
And somehow you get great luck and great energy from that. And so I think at this point, I kind of need
you're
to
gonna
get
bury
a St. Christopher.
You're going to bury a few statues.
Yeah.
Face down. Well, Madeline, we can't thank you enough for calling in and sharing your story with us. And we are pulling for you. We hope you get everything that you're looking for out of this whole move. But thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Johnny. Well, you know what? That makes me feel like I want to sell my home today.
Wow.
Not.
So there's a lot going through. But obviously, we've learned through mysticism that burying St. Christopher face down is the way to go when you're trying to sell a home.
Superstitious people like me and you, Jay, will have like 16 statues.
Oh gosh,
we won't
even. I'm going to put, you know, that hoodoo, that very sort of bayou sort of mysticism. I'm going to put the red brick dust in front of all my doors so bad people can't walk in. You know, I already do all that stuff anyway. I have a mirror that faces up underneath my bed so that bad spirits can't get me while I'm sleeping, because they'll see themselves and get scared and fly away. We do enough of these things.
Speaking of like looking for a home, I don't know if you're on the hunt these last few weeks, but
yeah.
Todd and I actually went to see a home today, and I feel so bad for our real estate agent, because it's been a long time that we've been looking
for a home.
They have
to work with you?
Yeah. And like, you know, each time they go in with us, and she tries to like, you know, really point out the great things. And I already know in my head in 0.2 seconds that it's not the one. Like I am... It's almost like the figure skater in me, like when I would be like, I feel it. I don't know what I'm doing on this jump, but I feel it. Like I need to have that feeling when I walk in. I need to be like, ah, this is it. I know it. And I haven't had that. And, you know, you get the conversation going where she's like, you know, you have to compromise on this and that. And I mean, you know me, there's just like,
there's
I'm
no
waiting till the house, you know, I walk in and I just know. But it has been over a year. So yeah. I feel terrible for her. And when we leave, Todd's always like, I'm sorry, Elizabeth. Sorry.
Well,
for my wife.
Todd's nice like that. Todd's really sweet like that. And that's his Midwestern upbringing, I think.
Yes.
You know, Jersey, you pull up to it. You hate it. You walk into the foyer and you won't even go see the house. You won't even walk through it because this isn't it. Sorry.
This is not it.
Speaking
of homes and domestic things, if you will, HelloFresh changed my life the other night. So it's so easy. It comes in this little, you know, comes in a box with ice, all that stuff, and everything is portioned out for you. I tried the butternut squash. I had a few. I did the butternut squash agnolotti with sage brown butter sauce, which is like, you know me, and this time of year, right up my alley.
Butter right in your face.
Yeah, butternut squash, everything. I'll do it. Pumpkin, give it all. So everything comes portioned out, and it's so easy. It comes with like directions that you can't mess up. So easy. I made it. Everything was just easy to, you know, and you actually feel like you're cooking. So it's not anything that's completely pre-made. So I felt like when I was like chopping my shallot, I was like, look, Todd, look at me go. You know, I mean, obviously I only had to chop my shallot and put it in to like a pan with butter, but still it felt like I was doing something. So it wasn't like, you know, for me, I never knew that I could cook. I mean,
yeah, until HelloFresh came
Hello
by.
Until HelloFresh came, it's changed my life. So I'm really into it. I also did the bell pepper black bean quesadillas. They change their recipes every week, which is really fun. So obviously, you know, the butternut squash was perfect for October. It was really up my alley. But Johnny, did you do a meal?
Yes, and it was via you guys. So Tara told me about this, and I do consider myself kind of a whiz in the kitchen, not in the way that like you would talk to your friends about it, but I can create a really great dinner on my own. But things have gotten so busy. It's the crazy season for Tara and I, and even when we're not on broadcast, I mean, my days are full. They're packed chock full of things. Sometimes I just don't have time to get to the grocery store. So Tara told me about HelloFresh last week, and I did my first big order. And the thing that I love so much about it is that it delivers to you exact quantities needed, so you don't actually waste any food. And it comes right to your doorstep in a recyclable and insulated box. So you can get your meats and your cheeses and your dairy and the things that you'll actually need that need to stay cold.
And the ingredients are super fresh, which I loved.
Yeah, but I made the Korean beef bibimbap. And bibimbap, it actually means mixing rice, for those of you who don't speak Korean. So it's this like beautiful rice dish. And I just felt really good and quick and easy. And I feel like for people that have families or, you know, they even have portions that are just for two people. So if it's just Todd and Tara, they have boxes specially for two people. They have a veggie box for vegetarians, you know.
A family box, a classic box. I did the veggie box. So I really liked that, even though I'm not vegetarian, but I enjoyed all of those meals, and they're less than $10 a meal, which is amazing.
Which is incredible. I mean, try going to Whole Foods and and getting anything for less than $10.
But they're really like creative, delicious meals, but at the same time, obviously simple to make, which was key for me.
Key for you.
I mean, nothing too crazy, you know, chopping, throwing it in a pan, but I felt so accomplished. So I don't know why I've waited so long. Like, this is going to be my thing.
So not only does it taste great, but it also gives the non-chefs out there, like my dear small friend Tara, it gives you that sense of accomplishment, and you can prepare dinner for your family the quick and easy way without wasting and without burning things because the directions are so clear on what to do. But obviously, guys, we are happy that HelloFresh is now part of our family. And like we do, we stalked them until they became part of our family here on the podcast. And because of our new bond,
we've got an offer
offering,
for you.
Yeah. So, honey, tell them about it.
So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, you have to visit HelloFresh.com, HelloFresh.com, and then enter the promo code TJ30 to get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. So,
and
Yeah, but everyone, try HelloFresh. Get the $30 off your first weeks of meals using TJ30 at checkout at HelloFresh.com. And thank you, HelloFresh, for supporting Tara and Johnny, the podcast. So, honey, what else is going on? It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. I get jealous when I see people that have, like, cute little, like, bunny ears or, you know, cat ears on. Like, I feel very unfestive today. And, you know, I love holidays. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm going to do anything tonight. I don't know if Todd and I are just going to stay home and avoid the kids that knock on the door. So that's where
we're
at.
I can't believe you guys didn't plan a couple's Game of Thrones outfit situation.
That would have been amazing. Right? I mean, skating messes up Halloween every year because it always falls around the same time.
Yeah, I can't remember. During my skating career, I missed Thanksgiving because I was always in Russia. I would miss Halloween to be in Canada or to be preparing. Definitely not eating candy.
No.
Are you insane?
Candy? No.
No way.
You know what we are going to do, though, is plan some fun things this week since Amanda and Josh are here. So maybe I've lived in L.A. for almost 15 years. Maybe I'll do things like I did in New York that I've never done before because I find that Todd and I are just lazy. You know, we like to go to our restaurants. We don't explore. We don't hike. We really need to, like, set up days where we do fun LA things. I think we take it for granted a bit that, you know, we live here and there are great things to do. And, oh, we'll see it whenever, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, you live there, so it's hard to really get into it. But you know what? Here's the thing. Hiking, and it's real big out there.
Hiking is not my thing.
Hiking is walking, and I've said that a million times on this podcast, and I'll continue to say it. I know sometimes you have to walk up a rock, and it's challenging because it makes your butt engage, but
not really.
You know, it's walking.
Not really, and then you come home, and your sneakers are all dusty, and you'll never get them as clean as before, and it's just, I don't...
Magic Mr. Clean Magic Erasers, that's how I keep my whites whiter.
All my friends love hiking, and I just, it's not my thing.
Yeah, I'd rather you go to a bar class and then
go
to
dinner.
Studio. Same thing. If you want to walk down Rodeo Drive and go to dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. So, guys, this has been a really long podcast, and we're happy that we were able to make it so long for you guys. But we have things to do.
We need to go. I need to get a flu shot. I'm really behind.
I don't get flu shots. I don't believe in them.
Oh, I believe in them. And you need to take your vitamin D today. Please.
I will go out and look for vitamin D. If it changes anything about my inner body goings on and inner workings, I'm quitting it. Just so you know.
Okay.
But I'll try for you. I want to be alive for a long time for you.
Yes, please. You cannot leave me. We have to make a contract about that. Do we have a fan call for next week? We haven't even talked about this.
We have to decide if we still want to do fan call. Because, guys, okay, so first of all, I want to get into something that was a little bit of a rub in an email before we end out this podcast. But some of you started to use Tara and Johnny fan call for your notes about our sound editing and our sound levels and things that have offended you. Fan call is just really a way for us and our teams to, you know, get one of you guys that we can actually talk to you and hear a fun story. But if anyone has been offended at any time during our podcast, we apologize. Somebody was upset with one of our...
I remember that. What was it about? I don't even remember.
Somebody was offended with a word that one of our fan calls used to describe a child and also another human in one of their stories. Yeah. And, you know, we do not do proper vetting, I suppose, on our fan call people, but... you know, we definitely are sorry that you were offended by anything that you heard from a caller into our program, and we will do our best to do better. But anyway, we will think about a fan call. We'll let you guys know what it's going to be.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think that's best. Just follow us on our social media to find out. It's Tara and Johnny, at Tara and Johnny, at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow our shenanigans there. And as always, we're so thankful to the... literal quadrillions of you out there.
Really,
listeners. But anyway, we're really thankful to all of you, and we love you all so much, and thank you for your support. And don't forget to watch us this Sunday on NBC at 3:30 Eastern for Skate Canada and 4:30 Eastern for our coverage of Cup of China. So back-to-back skating events that have been over the last two weekends, and we're really excited to bring those to you. Honey?
I agree.
Yeah, super
and subscribe.
Excited. Oh, and subscribe to our podcast.
We have so many rules for our listeners.
Yeah, that's how we roll. So if you want to be friends with us,
want to be part of this crazy duo, join the fun.
Well, we're a quadrillion. We're just a duo in the quadrillion now.
okay, we should end this.
Yeah, we should end it. Okay, it's getting silly. Guys, we love you. And until next week, bye.
Color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.